It's 6:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Murnau with KRWG News. On Wednesday, in a special session, New Mexico's legislature approved the legalization of recreational marijuana for adults 21 and older in a bill that the governor says she plans to sign and is scheduled to take effect in April of next year. In a statement, the governor said, quote, "This is a significant victory for New Mexico. Workers will benefit from the opportunity to build careers in this new economy." A companion bill was also passed by state lawmakers that automatically erases some past marijuana convictions and is said to reconsider criminal sentences for around 100 inmates. Governor Lujan Grisham called a special session this week to push for the legalization of marijuana in the state and to expand the Local Economic Development Act. President Joe Biden's plan to transform America's infrastructure includes $16 billion to plug old oil and gas wells and clean up abandoned mines. Hundreds of thousands of so-called orphaned oil and gas wells and abandoned coal and hard rock mines pose serious safety hazards while causing ongoing environmental damage. Many of the old wells and mines are located in rural communities that have been hit hard by the pandemic. The administration sees the long-standing problem as an opportunity to create jobs and remediate pollution. A new study says sexual assault and harassment in the U.S. military is causing troops to leave prematurely, hurting readiness. The authors hope it will help military leaders understand that the costs of sex crimes extend beyond the victims affected. Texas Public Radio's Carson Frame reports for the American Homefront Project.
When Amber Davila joined the Army in 2011, she planned to stay in for the full 20, or until retirement. She took pride in her communication security job. It made her feel like part of a team and a greater good.
I used to joke that I was going to eventually become the first female command sergeant major of the Army.
That all changed when Davila was sexually assaulted by a fellow soldier in Korea. Even though she was terrified of being ostracized, she eventually reported her attacker, and he was discharged after a lengthy investigation. But for Davila, the ordeal wasn't over.
You think you're okay, and then, you know, the commander says, horseshoe on me, so everybody kind of moves in. And then suddenly someone's brushing against me and I'm right back in that formation in Korea where this man is torturing me. And it just became overwhelming.
She spiraled into anxiety and destructive behavior and spent more and more energy trying to appear fine. When it came time to re-enlist, she had a panic attack.
And that's when I decided I couldn't do it anymore and that I needed to get out.
Davila isn't alone in that decision. According to a new study by the RAND Corporation, sexual assault doubled the odds that a service member would leave the military within 28 months. And about a quarter of troops who were sexually harassed didn't re-up. Andrew Morrell is a senior behavioral scientist at RAND and the study's lead author.
We all know, I think, that sexual assault and sexual harassment has tremendous costs to the individuals involved in it. But I think less attention has been paid to what the institutional costs are.
Using Defense Department data, he tracked the careers of a group of service members who reported sexual assault or harassment. Then he used statistical analysis to figure out how their experiences translated to the entire force. Assaults were associated with about 2,000 more people leaving the military than would normally be expected. Sexual harassment contributed to the departure of an additional 8,000 service members. Most who left did so by choice, often sacrificing retirement and other benefits.
They may not have felt like they had much choice if it was a very toxic work environment, but they weren't kicked out.
After the killing of Specialist Vanessa Guillen at Fort Hood in Central Texas, an independent review found that commanders weren't paying enough attention to sexual assault and harassment. In some cases, non-commissioned officers didn't encourage reporting and shamed victims. Morrell says that's been a problem across the military, but he hopes framing sexual assault and harassment as a retention problem will get their attention.
Well, I hope that they use it to emphasize the importance of leadership promoting a command climate that is not permissive with respect to sexual assault and sexual harassment kinds of behaviors. You know, I think it's been hard to get those messages all the way down into the junior enlisted ranks.
President Biden recently ordered a 90-day commission to pursue solutions to sexual assault in the military. One of its goals is to figure out how to reorient the culture against sex crimes. Lynn Rosenthal, a longtime advocate for survivors of gender violence, heads the commission. She told reporters in February that she'll organize listening sessions with service members, especially survivors.
This commission says to that service member, You do belong in this military. You belong. And it's our job to make this climate safe for you to be here.
The commission is slated to give recommendations to the president this summer. That's too late for former service members like Amber Davila. Since leaving the military in 2015, she started work for the Pink Berets, a women veterans organization in San Antonio. It supports survivors of military sexual trauma and advocates for policy change. But she says she feels a lingering grief about her service, especially when talking with friends whose Army careers have taken off. I'm Carson Frame in San Antonio.
This story was produced by the American Homefront Project, a public media collaboration that reports on American military life and veterans. Funding comes from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting.